Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Chaplain Johnson of the Senate. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Chaplain Johnson.
Let's pray. Our God, as we begin a new week, we pause once again to be reminded that we do all of what we do in your presence, and that you can give us what we need this week. We pray for patience when we are impatient. We pray for hope in this process when we might be tempted to throw up our hands. We pray that we would be kind when we are tempted to be unpleasant. We pray for endurance when we grow weary. And we pray for knowledge and wisdom and discernment when we lack understanding. God, this is our prayer. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. President, 50 members are present.
Quorum being present, the Senate's ready for business. That objection will go to order business number two, reports to standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed on the Public Health, Welfare, and Safety report that House was 310 and 311 be concurred in, that House was 116 and 147 be concurred in as amended, Senator Tom McGilvery, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on State Administration report that House Bills 110, 172, 173, and 273 be concurred in, Senator Mike Cuff, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection, the committee reports are adopted. That objection will go to order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President.
Okay, without objection, go to order business number six, first reading commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate resolutions 59 through 61 have been introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Senator Small.
Yes, Mr. President. First up today, I'd like to introduce the pages. Could you please stand up? Okay, this week we have Andrew Prevasek. Hopefully I said that right. He lives in Helena, Montana, and is both homeschooled and a junior in Capitol High School. He is currently looking into two careers, welding and astrophysics. Yeah, hopefully he could mend them both together. It'd be in good shape. He enjoys shooting archery for 4-H. Andrew forges swords in his garage and travels to Billings every year to learn ballroom dancing. And he is sponsored by Senator Esp. Next up, we have Isabel Watson, who lives in Missoula and attends Sentinel High School as a junior. She does debate, academic world quest, and choir. She is the founder of Sentinel's first ever German club. Isabel is very interested in politics, international relations, and hopes to study economics at MSU next year. She is sponsored by Senator O'Brien. And then last, we have Jared White, who lives in Roberts and is a homeschool junior. He loves playing the ukulele, skiing at Red Lodge Mountain. He is a cantor in his church choir, enjoys swing dancing, and volunteers at Vacation Bible School. He plans to study history after high school and hopefully in a warm climate, as he loves Hawaiian shirts. Jared is sponsored by Senator Mandeville. A round of applause.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Small.
Yes, Mr. President, if I may, I'd request to be out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
Sure.
Okay, so we've all had the pleasure of working with the lovely, delightful, and always helpful Jane up there in the balcony. And with us today in the gallery with her is her family, and they're visiting from Washington, D.C. Her words and not mine, she's wanting to wish her super hot husband a... And two stepkids, a warm welcome. So we have Warren, who is 14 years old. He likes history and science and just made the tennis A team and will be starting high school in the fall. And we have Mary Manning, who is 11. She's very creative, kind, smart, and a talented lacrosse player. And once again, in her words, you guys are pretty lucky to have her, but we all enjoy her also. Thank you for being here.
Welcome to the Senate. That objection will go to order of business number 7, second reading of bills. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Leader. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Will Senator Lenz take the chair for the day?
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move to move Senate Bill 352 to the bottom of the first agenda.
Without objection, so ordered.
And then, Mr. Chairman, I'll move to move House Bill 200 to the bottom of the first agenda after that.
Without objection, so ordered. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before your consideration House Bill 104. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 104, introduced by Beard and Lehrer, by request of the Department of Livestock, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws regarding aerial hunting of predatory animals, removing the residency requirement for aerial hunting, and repealing section.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you have before you, for your pleasure, House Bill 104. What is your pleasure? Senator Lang.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 104 that be recommend be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 104, basically, you see in front of you what it's doing. It's removing the residency required for aerial hunting. Aerial hunting is something that's used predominantly in the east, in Montana, to control predatory animals. And I don't envision a lot of use this year for that because the snow is so deep that the predatory animals are having a nice dinner on wild game, and they will not be at the livestock. But what in the past, you had to be a resident of Montana with the high cost of fuel, the high cost of airplanes. There are people that want to come in and contact 10 ranches and say, okay, we will fly for you, and they might not be a Montana resident. That's why they were removing this from statute. It is a Department of Livestock request. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the Senator like to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 104, I recommend the same be concurred. As many are as in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record
the vote. Mr. Chairman, 43 senators vote aye and 7 senators vote nay.
House Bill 104 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. You have before you for your consideration House Bill 156. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 156, introduced by Buttrey, by request of the state auditor, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws under the supervision of the state auditor, revising securities laws relating to disclosure of financial exploitation of an older person, authorizing the Securities Assistance Restitution Fund to assert certain claims for restitution, revising laws relating to commissioner access to insurance records, revising insurance laws to remove certain service of process fees, revising insurance service process laws, revising insurance certificate of authority laws, requiring the commissioner to make an approved risk list, revising the penalty relating to certain surplus lines filings, defining pharmacy services administrative organization, revising laws relating to pharmacy services administrative organization, revising laws relating to filing of policy forms, revising laws relating to the appointment of foreign or alien societies, revising laws relating to the Board of Directors of the Montana Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association Board, revising laws relating to commercial lines policies, revising laws relating to the filing of variable life insurance contracts, revising pharmacy services administrative organization laws, revising definitions, revising laws relating to the Montana Reinsurance Association Act, defining title guarantee, authorizing the commission to order restitution related to insurance, revising laws relating to in-network and out-of-network emergency services, revising laws related to utilization review organizations, revising laws related to standard for property and casualty insurers, providing for coverage of certain oral therapy prescriptions related to opioid use disorders, transferring statutory duties from the Department of Public Health and Human Service to the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance relating to the Managed Care Plan Network Adequacy and Quality Assurance Act, authorizing the Commissioner to transfer existing rules relating to the Act, extending rulemaking authority, amending sections, repealing sections, and providing effective dates and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
No, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 58.
Members of the committee, you have before you, House Bill 156. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does arise and report after having had her consideration, House Bill 156, it recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The title of the bill is long, and that's because this is the Insurance Commissioner's annual cleanup bill. I'll just maybe go through and highlight a couple points in here. There's a variety of stuff in here. Most of it is code cleanup. There's some stuff to bring this statute into conformance, for example, with some of the bills that have been run by the governor's red tape relief program. For example, I'll just a couple highlights. For example, in section 2, that deals with financial exploitation of an elderly disabled adult, and these changes are intended to bring those changes in line with the securities code. Section 3 simply says if you've been over, if you've gotten a damage award in excess of the amount you're owed, you have to give it back. We've got some language in here about service of process, about being able to get rid of old insurance certificates. Language about policy forms. So most of this is just red tape cleanup. So I'd ask for a green light. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on the motion. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the Senator like to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 156, six, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many are in favor of the motion signified by voting aye, those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and 2 having voted no, House Bill 156 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 336. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 336, introduced by Buttrey and others, a bill for an act entitled an act providing state recognition for family child care providers that are licensed by a branch of the United States Armed Forces, including the United States Coast Guard, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 353. What is your pleasure, Senator Curdy?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee is rising report after having under consideration House Bill 336, that I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Curdy.
We all know the availability of child care is a big deal with working families and parents, especially for our military parents, as they work to protect and serve our country. The bill changes can be seen on page 2, lines 1 through 3. This language requires the Department of Public Health and Human Services recognize the status of a DOD-approved family child care provider or child care family facility. and may not be requiring additional state licensure for that provider to operate. Mr. Chair, members of the body, this is a DOD priority item, especially providing child care facilities on a military basis. So I ask for a green, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Is there discussion on the motion? Representative Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to note on page 2, line 3, Coast Guard should be capitalized. Hopefully they fix that when they codify it.
Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the Senator like to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Curdy that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 336, it recommend it be concurred in. As many are as in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Senator Bartel. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye and zero having voted no, House Bill 336 has been concurred in. Members, you have before your for your consideration House Bill 353. The clerk will read the history and title.
House Bill 353, introduced by Carlson and Buttrey, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws related to barbers and cosmetologists, defining natural hair braiding services, exempting natural hair braiding services from licensing regulations and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you have before you for your you now have before you House Bill 353. What is your pleasure, Representative Senator Gillespie?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 353, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Mr. Chair.
Senator Gillespie.
Okay, this is a fairly short bill. It's about barbers and cosmetologists, and that happens to be what Doreen's degree is in. So I have to be careful, but it talks about defining natural hair braiding services, and then it talks about exempting those natural hair braiding services from licensing regulations. And there are some good reasons. In Montana, we're one of the about the only state right up here in this part of the world. 28 other states do not require braiders to be licensed. And in Montana, to do so, you have to have a full cosmetology license, which requires 1,500 hours of unrelated training to do services and all that good stuff. So anyway, it's a big burden. It's not hardly ever done up here. It's not really, it doesn't really fit in here very well. So that's due to the red tape thing. That's why it kind of got set aside and we'll be out of the picture. In response to this, I thought maybe Doreen would braid my hair today, but she gave up on it very quickly. Kind of hurt my feelings, but I guess if everybody votes yes on this, gives us a green light, it'll boost my morale again. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on the bill, Senator Weber.
Thank you for bringing this bill. And all the Native American men that have long hair, thank you as well.
Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Gillespie that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration Senate Bill 353, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators haven't voted aye, and 2 voted no. House Bill 353 has been concurred in. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 117. The clerk will read the history and title.
House Bill 117, introduced by Bertaglio by request of the Teachers Retirement Board, a bill for an act entitled NEC, revising working retiree provisions under the Teachers Retirement System, amending sections and providing an effective date and a termination date.
Are any corrections to the history and title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 117. What is your pleasure? Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 117, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, 117 comes before you at the request of the Teachers Retirement Board, and I want to say that twice. This is at the request of the Teachers Retirement Board. We have had a number of sessions where we've fought to get this bill done, and then now they turn around and said it was so successful we want to extend it a little bit. This bill provides TRS employers with additional flexibility to address the teacher shortfall by increasing the allowable earnings limit for working retirees, reducing the break in service requirement, and reinstating superintendent as a position eligible to work under these rules, which is our emergency hire provision. These changes have been reviewed by the TRS actuary and are not anticipated to have a measurable actuarially impact, or actuarial, yeah, that impact. This bill includes a sunset date, which will require the TRS board and the legislature to reevaluate these provisions during the 2027 session. These changes, basically, the old bill, or the one we're under now, says you can work one-third time and basically get paid one-third of an average of your final compensation after you retire. The retirement board wants to, as they've listened to the teachers around the state, and especially the administrators and the school boards, have decided that they want to boost that up to 49%, or in other words, half-time from one-third time. And this higher salary will be done without jeopardizing their monthly TRS benefit, retirement benefits. Secondly, they'll split the days that they need to have a break. That's under the IRS rules, and before it was 150, they want to knock it down to 120. And then they want to add in superintendents. We had some issues with superintendents and some districts maybe gaming the system. In the last session, we took superintendents out, and these folks would like to put superintendents back in the bill. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the Senator like to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration House Bill 117, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many in favor of the motion, vote signify by saying aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 33 senators vote aye and 17 senators vote nay.
33 senators having voted aye and 17 having voted no. House Bill 117 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 171. The clerk will read the history and title.
House Bill 171, introduced by Beattie. A bill for an act entitled NEC, revising laws related to the education of children receiving inpatient treatment of emotional problems, adding and revising definitions, including therapeutic group homes and a list of facilities qualifying for state payments, revising the calculation of state funding for the educational cost of children receiving inpatient treatment of emotional problems, providing additional duties from the superintendent of public instruction, establishing reporting requirements, amending sections, and providing an effective date and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 7.
Members of the committee, you have before for you, House Bill 171. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 171, that be recommended the same be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, this is a little bit different. This seeks to adequately fund the education of children who are receiving inpatient treatment for a serious emotional disorder or problem. Children's psychiatric hospitals and other residential treatment programs were eligible to receive Medicaid payments to offset the cost of educating children receiving treatment at these facilities. In response to the loss of the funding, which is now gone, the 67th legislature in House Bill 206 initiated a comprehensive overhaul of how to fund education at various residential treatment facilities. And I want to underline a little bit, education, not the treatment. Fragmentary evidence suggests that the daily rate for providing services varies from facility to facility, which might be expected. But during the 2021 session, we lacked the data necessary to confirm this and to determine the actual cost of delivering these services. So OPI was asked to thoroughly analyze the actual cost of providing these services. And they came back with a study, and it revealed the following. The current definition of what type of facility qualifies for funding is technically incorrect because it inadvertently excludes one facility that has long participated in this program, and this bill will take care of that. The cost of providing services varies widely between facilities. So we're trying to come up with what it should be in all of these, and it has a little bit to do with how big it is and how many students are in it. The daily rate necessary to fully cover the actual education costs is 2 to 4 times higher than the rate cap in the current law. So, 171 addresses these findings by the definition of qualifying facility has been expanded to include therapeutic group homes. The cap on the state's share of the daily rate has been eliminated, and the superintendent is required to report biannually to the Education Interim Budget Committee and the Education Interim Committee on the calculations of the daily rate for the qualifying facilities. We have a constitutional duty to provide equality of educational opportunities to each person of the state. This includes those children receiving treatment for services and emotional problems in residential facilities. OPI's study conclusively indicates that we are underfunding the education of these children, and House Bill 117 rectifies this problem, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Is there a discussion on the bill? Senator Tribus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, I'm just curious how this interacts with A and B at a local school district. Say a child in Great Falls is sent to a facility here. Is that kind of double counting in a way, where they're counted for local A and B, but then sent here, and then they get funded for their education at one of these facilities as well?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, it is in here somewhere. It has to do with the tuition and the local district. Yes, they can count the student, but they have to pay the tuition, which is then sent to the facility.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion on the bill? Senator Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the carrier, please.
Senator Solomon, do you
yield?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Solomon, how does this coordinate with eligibility for Medicaid payments for these facilities?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Beard, it's my understanding that they took it away a couple of years ago, and now it's our responsibility, our being Montana's responsibility, to cover the quality, et cetera, education of these kids. So now it's how do we, and this is all about educating the kids, not the treatment of the kids, but they should have the ability to be educated when they're in these facilities, and that's what the issue is about, how much that's going to cost, and we have to pay for it after the federal government stepped aside on that.
Thank you for the clarification.
Senator McGillivray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the sponsor.
The sponsor yield?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't have the time to read the bill or the fiscal note thoroughly, but how were they previously funded? Or were they?
Mr. Chairman, Senator McGill, I can't tell you that. I know they were as a certain percentage, but I do not know the exact.
Follow-up?
Follow up.
The percentage of what?
Of the daily cost, Mr. Chairman, Senator McGilvery. What it costs supposedly for the daily cost of that, not the treatment, the education, but there were, that's part of why we did that study. They were all over the map. I mean, hundreds of dollars difference on how much it costs. So that's why the study was done.
So one more follow-up.
Do you continue to yield?
Yep.
So was it a federal funding or a state funding previously, just a different way it was funded?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, both.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the senator like to close? The senator has closed. This question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration Senate Bill 171, they recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye and zero having voted no, House Bill 171 has been concurred in. Members, you have for your consideration House Bill 240. The clerk will read the history and title.
House Bill 240, introduced by Thane and Beattie, a bill for an act entitled an act revising an outdated reference in the Family Education Savings Act, amending section and providing a delayed effective date.
Are any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 240. What is your pleasure, Senator Emmerich?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 240, that it recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is an act revising some references to dates inside the Family Education Savings Account Act. If you move to page 3 on line 13 and 12, you'll find that there's a reference to April 30th, 2001. That would have been when the act was originally put into place. And this just removes that reference out of there, so that way all of the dates follow the line 14, that with one year prior of the withdrawal or distribution. Just a small code cleanup bill, just to get that reference out of code.
Thank you, Senator Emmerich. Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the senator like to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Emmerich when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 240. It recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, vote by signifying aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Molnar. The clerk will read the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
49 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 240 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 334. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 334, introduced by Bishop Keenan, Sales, and Thane, a bill for an act entitled an act addressing mental health needs of students in public schools, adding mental health needs to the reasons of a child may be absent from school and excused from compulsory attendance, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 334. What is your pleasure, Senator McLafferty?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 334, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator McLafferty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Senate. This bill helps meet the mental health needs of our young. Since the pandemic, there has been a big emphasis on the mental health for our children. However, even before the pandemic, our children were showing signs of that they were struggling with mental health, and there are many reports out there to show that mental health is on the rise. This bill will allow the mental health needs to be listed as an allowable absence from school. Mental health is health, and this reinforces and clarifies that for students, parents, and school administrators. And please keep in mind that the local school boards have the authority to set the attendance policy and absence policy. And it maintains parental rights, and parents are the ones who make the decisions of their children. It increases guidance, helping parents to determine how to help their children meet the mental needs, whether they're in treatment or simply just taking a day to take care of themselves. Most importantly, having this in the open destigmatizes this for students and parents, modeling that it's okay to recognize mental health needs the same way we acknowledge simple ear infections. When cases arise where students may be struggling with attendance and utilizing the mental health excuse too frequently, it can also be a red flag for schools to offer help to the family and help them guide them in the right direction to get help for their child. At this current time, 12 states have passed this law, and there are many states that are in the same process that we are in the session, and they are looking to pass this bill. With that, Mr. Chair, I ask for a due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend House Bill 334 with Amendment HB 0334.001.001, signed Senator Regeer.
Senator Regeer.
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend House Bill 334 with Amendment HB 0334.001.001 and ask that the amendment be posted and deemed read, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the Senate, we're at that part of the session where you miss committee hearings because you're on the House side making bill presentations, and that's what happened with me on this bill. I read over the bill, and mental health needs made me think that's way too vague. When that alarm goes off in the morning, I think a lot of us have mental health needs, don't we? We just want to stay in bed. Really vague. But I understand. There's students that have bipolar or manic depressive, things like that. So medically diagnosed, I think that makes it legitimate, and it makes it more reasonable and not vague, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion on the amendment? Senator McLafferty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I spoke with the person with Representative Bishop from the House, and this is her bill, and I asked her how she felt about it. And she doesn't like the change. She's asking us not to vote for it because, and with our conversation, we both agreed that mental health, sometimes it isn't diagnosed. You know, sometimes we just have a bad day. Maybe for some reason the child is has a problem because they're fighting with their boyfriend or even maybe their parents are going through a divorce and they have to have time to process something and they need this day to process it. They're not going to take advantage of it and call off every day and say it's a mental health problem. If it is, there are avenues for the school to address that problem. So this bill maintains parent control, and it's the parent's decision to decide when their child should be taken a day off from school, whether it's for an ear infection or for mental health. Please vote no. Thank you.
Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I speak to the amendment. Attendance at school is one of the most important harbingers as to how successful that student is. And the temptation has been throughout the years to remove more and more requirements as to why a child should be in school. This is not referring to mental health for being absent for one or a couple of days, because any and all parents, when they have a child that is having a really, really bad day or something is going wrong, probably can call in and say, my child is sick today, and there's no problem. But when we get to extended absences, that's where we have more of a situation and a problem that we need to deal with in code. This bill is important, but I think the amendment is also an important addition to it. So I urge a passage of the bill, amendment, and a passage of the bill as amended. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the amendment, please.
Go ahead.
In addition to what Senator McLafferty shared, I'm standing in opposition of this amendment. We're at a point in time, and we have a youth survey that has shown that suicidal thoughts and depression and other risky behavior are at record highs for our middle school and high school students. There's bullying that's taking place in schools, and there are often undiagnosed and unmanaged mental health problems that many of our children are dealing with. And certainly there are some diagnoses that are to be taken seriously, but others, I think, it puts our students at higher risk to expect that they have to attend school in consultation with their parents when it's not right for them. And, you know, I've taught in the classroom, and it is hard when students are tardy and students aren't in attendance. It is hard on the student. It's hard on the other students, and it's certainly hard on the teacher. But that's not what this bill is about. This bill is taking care of our children. I urge a do not adopt on this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Frandell.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Would the sponsor of the amendment rise for a yield for a question?
Senator, would you yield?
I yield.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Regeer, what are we not in trying to encapsulate in this particular amendment? A question I have is, if someone's not been clinically diagnosed as depressed, but is severely depressed, would that your amendment keep that person from being able to do what they need to do with this bill?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I don't think I quite follow your question. Can you restate that?
No problem. Senator, your amendment adds mentally, it adds medically diagnosed. What are we trying to keep out that may concern you? Like, my question is if a child is depressed, but I haven't taken my child to the doctor for his depression, would this eliminate that by keeping him home because he's depressed?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, no. I mean, we talk of the ball game the night before, they missed the free throw and lost the game, and they don't want to go to school the next day. The best thing is get out and live life and keep going. That's what would be outside of this. But if they are truly clinically depressed, manic depressive, bipolar, yeah, that would fit.
Mr. Chair, would the sponsor continue to yield to another question?
Will you continue to yield, Senator?
I yield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, I understand where you're going. I'm not talking about my child that lost his game at Fortnite. I'm talking about I have not taken him to, he's really depressed, and I haven't taken him to the doctors yet, but I know the signs. Would this eliminate this situation where I could not count him as absent?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, no. Take him to the doctor. Yeah, get him the help that they need.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, sponsor.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, Senator Regeer, would you like to close on your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When rainy days and Mondays get you down, the best thing for a student to do is get to school, be productive, and they're going to feel better. Vote green.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Regeer that House Bill 334 be amended. As many are now in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 26 senators vote aye and 24 senators vote nay.
26 senators having voted aye and 24 having voted no, the amendment passes. Are there any further amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the bill. Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close?
Okay, right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Senate. This is a good bill. This helps our children who are suffering from mental health problems, and I ask you for a due pass. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator McLafferty that when this committee does Reisman report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 334, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
47 senators having voted aye and 3 having voted no, House Bill 334 has been concurred in. Members, you have for your consideration Senate Bill or House Bill 13. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 13, introduced by J. Fitzpatrick by request of the Office of Budget and Program Planning, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws governing state employee compensation, appropriating funds to implement pay revisions and per diem adjustments, revising state employee per diem rates, providing that state executive branch offices are open on state general election days, eliminating state general election day as a holiday for state employees, providing for an annual floating holiday for state employees, amending sections, and providing effective dates.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1-7.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 13. What is your pleasure, Senator Esp?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 13, I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Esp.
Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is a bill we see every session. It sets the level of compensation for the our state employees that serve our constituents all over the state. And so the bill this time does about 4 major things. They all occur on the first 2 pages. The first change is lines 18 and 19. Page 1 says that all state offices will remain open on election day. All employees get a floating holiday that they may take any time during the year to replace that one on election day. That's the first 2 changes. Sorry, I'm fighting a bug here. The third change is the per diem rates, which you'll see later in the bill, I think page 4, I think, let me see, changes slightly. They move the per diem rates for meals up slightly, about 10%. Last time we changed it, I think, was 2019. And then the major change is the change in compensation for our employees. It goes up either $1.50 an hour or 4%, whichever is more, in each of the next 2 fiscal years. There's an initial bonus of 50 cents per hour that will be paid in 2023 on passage and approval of this bill. So the bill gives more, a bigger percentage growth in salaries of those at the lower end of the pay scale and those at the upper end of the pay scale is basically what it does. And I urge your support. I think it was negotiated in good faith, and I think it was fair to the employees and fair to our constituents. I urge you to support the bill.
Any discussion on the bill? Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also respect the work that went into this and negotiations in the interim to arrive at this increase. I think it's well-deserved. My concern, and I'm going to vote for it, my concern is that I'm not sure it really adequately addresses the recruitment and retention needs we have in state government. It's an important increase, well-deserved, but I would hope that the administration and the union work together in the interim to really, focus on that need in state government, because fundamentally, if we're going to continue to provide the services that Montanans expect, we need to recruit good employees, we need to retain them, and I think we need to do more in the next session to make that happen. Thank you.
Senator Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the carrier, please.
Senator Asp, do you yield?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, does this fiscal note for House Bill 13 include overhead costs, you know, those items that don't show on the top half of the pay stub, such as percentage of contributions for withholding amounts, etc.?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Beard, it sets the salaries. It does not include other things like that. The pensions would be addressed in a different bill, those type of costs.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Do you continue to yield, Senator? Do you continue to yield,
Oh,
Senator?
I would, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You should assume that I'm continue to yield.
Thank you, kind Senator. Now, does it include the amount that we pay for tax withholdings and so forth in the fiscal note as well?
The withholding taxes would be included in the fiscal note, yes.
Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Seeing none, would the Senator like to close on this bill?
I would. It's a good bill. Vote for it.
Thank you, Senator. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Esp. Then when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration House Bill 13, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators having voted aye and one having voted no, House Bill 13 has been concurred in. Members, you have for your consideration House Bill 347. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 347, introduced by Walsh, Gist, and Fraser, a bill for an act entitled An Act Allowing the DEQ to Issue Letters of Warning for Violations and Administrative Deficiencies for Hard Rock Mining and Open Cut Mining Operations, Defining Administrative Deficiency, and Amending Sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you have now have before you House Bill 347. What is your pleasure, Senator Marshall?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 347, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Marshall?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the body. It's my pleasure to present House Bill 347 to the body today. It's really a common sense approach to the Department of Environmental Quality Regulation and the enforcement for hard and open cut mine operations. What it really does is it provides the DEA, not the law enforcement agency, but Department of Environmental Quality, to issue warning letters for an administrative deficiency. So
What does that mean? An administrative deficiency means a deficiency in reporting, record keeping, a fee payment, or just simply a notification that the department determines is really minor in nature and non-substantive and unlikely to reoccur. Right now, there's no distinction in statute that allows the agency to determine minor versus major serious infractions. And the option of just simply being able to send a letter will improve the operations and efficiency for both the department and its permittees, to just kind of give them a nudge in correcting whatever that minor infraction might be. Better definitions will just simply lead to less paperwork and resources and allow the agency and the permittee to foster a productive working relationship, getting ahead of things early on. This bill does not prevent the agency from issuing a violation letter when the deficiency is warranted. This will just allow for an option to send that letter to them. Really straightforward and simple bill. I would ask for a do concur. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the Senator like to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Morgeau that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration House Bill 347, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many are as in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those who are opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators having voted aye and one having voted no, House Bill 347 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you have before you House Bill, for your consideration, House Bill 176. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 176, introduced by Galloway, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Laws Related to County Utility Permitting Authority, Revising the Payment of Damages, Amending Sections, and Providing an Immediate Effective Date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 176. What is your pleasure, Senator Friedel?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise report after having under consideration House Bill 176, that I recommend do be concurred in.
Senator Friedel.
Mr. Chair, this bill is a pretty simple bill. What it does is it allows county to, if you look on page 1, line 13 and 14, it gives the authority by the Board of the County Commissioners to allow for county easements on county property, on or within any county-owned property, or within any county utility corridor within the county right-of-way. This also includes broadband infrastructure at the page 1, line 20 and 22. It also adds required infrastructure. The committee, when we did hear it and we had a good discussion, added in broadband and other infrastructure requirements because we figured we didn't want to come back here on the 69th legislature and add this in so they can do this work. That's all this bill does, just gives the authority to the county commissioners on county property to allow for this to happen. I will stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the senator like to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Friedel that when the committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 172, recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye and zero having voted no. House Bill 176 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 80. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 80, introduced by Nicola Kakos, by request of the Department of Military Affairs, a bill for an act entitled an act adopting the most recent federal military laws, regulations, and codes applicable to the governance of the Montana National Guard, amending section and providing an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 80. What is your pleasure? Senator Fox.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 80, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Fox.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 80 is an act adopting the most recent federal military regulations and codes that apply to the governance of the Montana National Guard, amending sections 10-1-101 of the MCA and providing an effective date. This is a recurring housekeeping bill that allows Montana to adopt, as state law, the most recent version of federal military laws and regulations and apply them to the National Guard of the state, including the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would Senator Fox like to close? He has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fox that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration House Bill 80, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and 2 having voted no, House Bill 80 has been concurred in. Members, you have for your consideration House Resolution 31. Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nominations transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 31.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, these are members of the Historical Society Board of Trustees. And I'd like to read the names of them. Carol Donaldson from Kalispell, Mary Helen from Glasgow, Lorna Cooney from Helena, Steve Lozar from Polson, Jay Russell from Great Falls, Bill Witsit from Big Fork, and Candy Zion from Winifred. These members are doing a great job with these folks. We talked to them. The Board of the Historical Society is moving the new building. They have lots of things planned, and it's a big job for them, and these are great candidates, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the Senator like to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon. Then when the committee does rise and report, having had under consideration Senate Resolution 31, it recommends the same be adopted. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Heinbaugh? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and 2 having voted, no. Senate Resolution 31 has been adopted on second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 32. Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nominations transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 32. And this one's for the Board of Regents of Higher Education. And there's one name on this, Jeff Southworth from Lewistown, Montana. We have another one that's coming in a little bit that is the student regent. So we held those hearings together. And we took about an hour going over a lot of the things that these regents are going to be doing and their philosophies on education and what we're looking at between the legislature and the regents. And it was a very entertaining and enlightening discussion. Mr. Southworth has served on the board and is a great candidate. And we're bringing forth his nomination again, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on the resolution. Seeing none, would the Senator like to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration Senate Resolution 32, recommend the same be adopted. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye and zero having voted no. Senate Resolution 32 has been adopted on second reading. Members, you have for your consideration Senate Resolution 47. Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nominations transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 47.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, these are members of the Montana Arts Council, and a lot of them showed up for a hearing and to be interviewed, and we had an entertaining discussion about arts in Montana, where it was going, where it's headed, the different types of art that's out there, and these are the members that were brought forth for us. Troy Collins from Hamilton, Julie Mack from Whitefish, John Moore from Miles City, Greg Murphy from Billings, and Bridger Pierce from Missoula, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the senator like to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration Senate Resolution 47, it recommends the same be adopted. As many as are in favor of the resolution, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators having voted aye and one having voted no. Senate Resolution 47 has been adopted. Members, you have before your consideration, Senate Resolution 51. Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 51. And this is the other member of the Board of Regents. He is known as the Student Regent. He's been serving for most of a year, and it's always a pleasure to talk to one of these bright young students who brings a different viewpoint to the Board of Regents, and this was no exception. His name's Norris Blossom. He comes from Bozeman, Montana. He's going to school down at MSU, and it was really entertaining to talk to these young people and have them explain how their view of higher education and where education is headed in the next few decades compared to maybe ours. It was very entertaining, and he's an excellent candidate, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, would the senator like to close on this bill? He has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration Senate Resolution 51, recommend the same be adopted. All in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye and zero having voted no. House Resolution 51 has been adopted in on second reading. Thank you, Mr. President.
Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 352. The clerk read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 352, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled an act creating intern task force to modify and improve child protective services, specifying members and duties, providing for reports, providing for contingent voidness, and providing an immediate effective date and a termination date.
Are there any questions on the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. President.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 352. What is your pleasure, Senator Lenz?
Mr. President, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 352, it recommend do pass.
Senator Lenz.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, bringing before you today a bill that creates an interim task force specifically on CPS cases and how CPS is operating. We brought forward something else before that involved the judicial end. Should we expand the court system to a statewide dependency and neglect court system, or should we strengthen the local court systems? This addresses how we do the removals, the foster care, all the structural issues. And as opposed to a study bill, I think this gives us the opportunity to have a little deeper dive on this. There is a lot of interest out there in this, particularly behind the scenes, lots of discussion. I'm really pleased with how that discussion is coming down. I think it's going to be a lot of positive ideas come out of this. And with that, I look forward to your questions or whatever you wish, Mr. President.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. President.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, would the senator care to close? Senator has closed. Question on rises on the motion of Senator Lenz. When this committee does rise and report, having under consideration Senate Bill 352, recommend the same do pass. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators haven't voted aye. Senate Bill 352 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 200. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 200, introduced by Esmond and others, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the Montana Safe Haven Newborn Protection Act to clarify that a newborn may be surrendered via a newborn safety device or by placing an emergency call, providing the parent to be informed of the right to remain anonymous, revising definitions, amending sections, and providing an effective date.
Are there any questions? Title and history of the bill is read.
None, Mr. President.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 200. What is your pleasure, Senator Lenz?
Mr. President, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 200, it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. President.
Senator Lenz.
Members, you have before you House Bill 200, a bill requested by a constituent in Billings, Representative Essman and myself interacted with her on this, and it seeks to revise the Montana Safe Haven Newborn Protection Act. This bill clarifies that a newborn may be anonymously surrendered to a newborn safety device or by placing a call to an appropriate emergency service provider. In addition, the bill defines a newborn safety device by providing a safe vehicle by which an anonymous newborn surrender may be made. We can save more babies from being abandoned in a tragic and often deadly manner. There are currently 134 newborn safety devices in operation in 9 states. 24 infants have been safely surrendered since this project started in 2017. I would urge a due pass on this bill, Mr. President.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. President.
Discussion on the motion. Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the carrier of the bill yield?
Will the carrier yield?
Yes, Senator, I would.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator. As I'm looking through the bill here on definitions on page 2, this is current language. We have a definition of a newborn, but what would happen if an older child was left in the box, say a small, premature, 90-day-old child?
Clarification, an older child, you say?
So the definition of newborn means, Senator, definition of newborn says an infant who a physician reasonably believes to be no more than 30 days, and I'm wanting to know what if a baby, a little bit older, maybe 60 days, 90 days, is left in the box?
Mr. President, Senator Gross, my understanding is this is targeted towards newborns. That is my understanding on this.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. I'll speak to the bill. I voted for this bill in committee, but I have some questions now. I know that the bill targets newborns, but with an anonymous drop box, I don't know that that could be enforced. There's no enforcement mechanism. I'm also concerned on page 4 of the bill, lines 10 and 11, it says that if a newborn is surrendered in a newborn safety device, the emergency services provider shall make a reasonable effort to provide the parent with the written material described in sub 2E. So that's over on page 3, lines 13 through 23. Those are all great things, but I wonder about the provisions in subsection 3. And I also wonder, I didn't see a definition of reasonable effort. I know that we do use that throughout the code quite a bit. So this isn't a new idea. This has existed for centuries, actually, in Europe. Little boxes in the wall at churches and whatnot. But it seems that most of the rest of the world is moving away from this practice. And the United Nations actually did call for this practice to end. I guess my biggest concern would be this being an avenue for someone's baby to be surrendered without the consent of the parent. And I think there could be a number of situations where that could occur. A lot of circumstances surrounding that. And so it sounds like a really good idea on its face, but I think we need to think through some of these other questions. Like, for example, you know, a very small 6-month-old baby left in a box, where does that leave us? So for now, I'm going to be a no on this bill. We already have the Montana Safe Haven Newborn Protection Act, where you can surrender a baby face-to-face with a lot of safeguards in place. And I think it's much easier to know that you have the consent of at least one parent in that situation. Mr. President, thank you.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to speak to the bill.
Senator.
Mr. President, members of the body, I think this is a very good bill, and I think it speaks to the reality that we find ourselves in currently in Montana and the United States. As it seems, the trend has been moving away from aborting babies. We have a growing population of new mothers who are looking for alternatives when they can't necessarily provide or take care of their children. So I think this bill it's not only necessary, but we're going to have to see a lot more bills that are trying to deal with this growing need amongst new mothers. So I would be in support of this bill, and I recommend a green vote because I like children being taken care of. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Lenz, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, I expand on a couple of things. I kind of forgot the second page that the sponsor gave to me about how this would be, a baby box that they would also have access to a comprehensive packet of information regarding parental rights. It would be at someplace like a fire station when the baby would be put in there. It would set off an alarm. So this, in this warm environment, this baby isn't going to be sitting there for 2 weeks or something. Senator Gross brought up an interesting point without the consent of the parent that somebody else could put the baby in there. I would suspect that the parent that had the baby taken away would be at the police department wanting answers. And in the meantime, the baby is safely in the baby box. Now remember, this is in the law that we currently have where you can give a baby to an emergency worker. You could drop a baby off at a fire station. This just gives another layer. You never know, is someone unwilling to do that? There are no ramifications for dropping off at the fire station, but maybe they want a level of anonymity that could be helpful. I don't want us to have a baby box in the alley. It was mentioned that around the world, churches and stuff have done this, an ability to create an opportunity for a baby who is left behind, whose parent is willingly giving them up, to from an uncertain future to a good future. And with that, I would encourage agreeing, Mr. President.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Lenz. When this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 200, recommend the same be concurred in. Many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 34 senators vote aye and 16 senators vote nay.
34 senators haven't voted aye, 16 haven't voted no. House Bill 200 has been concurred in second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 356. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 356, introduced by Lur and others, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws relating to firearms, providing that a governmental entity may not contract with a company that has a policy that discriminates against firearm entities or firearm trade associations, requiring written verification in a contract with a governmental entity that a company does not discriminate against firearm entities or firearm trade associations, and providing definitions.
Are there any corrections tonight? Title and history of the bill is read.
None, Mr. President.
Clerk, read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 356. What is your pleasure, Senator Usher?
Mr. President, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 356, that I recommend this same be concurred in.
Senator Usher.
Thank you, Mr. President. As early as 2013, in the Obama-Biden administration, with the shareholder groups, began leveraging financial industry in the efforts to hold up doing businesses with firearms companies. This was called Operations Checkpoint. 2018, woke banks began publicly sharing intentions to continue and expand discriminating against firearms-related entities. 2020, the Trump administration passed a rule called the Fair Access to Banking Services, which reversed this. And then when Biden administration came in, they terminated it. In 2020, states started passing state legislation in Wyoming, Georgia, Texas, and others. This act does not initiate any action against an entity that chooses to continue to discriminate. It does not compel any changes in business practices by service providers. It does not restrict the freedom of any business to choose who they do business with. This bill respects the private businesses and individuals that may establish their corporate values, and it allows the state to make market decisions consistent with our values in the same way. With that said, I ask for a green.
Is there any amendments?
None, Mr. President.
Discussion on the motion, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. We heard this bill in committee, and I asked, as did others, how would this bill, what problems would this bill actually address? The AG stated the concerns he had was that all insurance companies don't insure or are unwilling to insure gun retailers. And he also indicated that mail companies like the FedEx refuse to ship weapons. This bill really cannot address those issues for those companies. Insurance companies have lots of reasons why they insure who they do and who they don't. And FedEx falls under federal rules about who can and cannot ship weapons. If you look at the fiscal note, so this bill can't really do any of the things that at least the people who testified want it to do. But what it will do is reduce competition, resulting in higher costs to state agencies based on the state's inability to contract with vendors based upon their gun policy and position, which may be totally reasonable and therefore constitutional. So I suggest a no on this bill. Thank you.
Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to correct the record that the two major parcel delivery services have adopted policies on their own. They're not due to federal regulations or law. Thank you, Mr. President.
Seeing no further discussion, will the senator care to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just also wanted to clarify UPS and FedEx. We're refusing weapons. Parts is what the example was, not weapons. Anyway, and there were also no opponents in committee. We had a great discussion. This is a great bill. Go Green.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Usher that when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 356, recommend the same be concurred in. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Hertz? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 34 senators vote aye and 16 senators vote nay.
34 senators haven't voted aye, 16 haven't voted no. House Bill 356 has been concurred in second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 74. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 74, introduced by R. Fitzgerald, by request of the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, a bill for an act entitled an act removing the requirement that the Upland Game Bird Enhancement Program fund bird releases, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the title and history of the bill as read?
None, Mr. President.
Clerk, read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 74. What is your pleasure, Mr. Minority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 74 that recommend the same do pass.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Upland Game Bird Enhancement program started in 1987 and it was amended in 1989 to dedicate a portion of the funding for primarily pheasant release, and the rest was used for habitat enhancement work. Current statute requires that FWP set aside 15% of the program revenue for the sole purpose of funding upland game bird release. And once again, the remaining revenues used for upland game bird enhancement. What's happened over time is there's been a general decline in the interest of both producing pheasants and for landowners in planting these raised pheasants. And so there's been a substantial kind of unexpended amount in this upland game bird enhancement program. And the department would like to redirect that program where it's actually underfunded, and that's in habitat enhancement. So this would simply remove the requirement for 15% going to actually placing birds and putting, redirecting those funds into habitat enhancement. I'd ask for a do pass. Thanks.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. President.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, would the senator care to close? Senator has closed. Question arises on the motion of the minority leader when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 74, recommend the same be concurred in. Many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the votes.
Mr. President, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators haven't voted aye. House Bill 74 has been concurred in second reading. Senator Fitzpatrick.
Mr. President, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Lenz. Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate bills passed, 352. Senate resolutions adopted, 31, 32, 47, 51. House bills concurred in, 13, 74, 80, 104, 117, 156, 171, 176, 200, 240, 336, 347, 353, 356. House bills concurred in as amended, 334.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. The Committee of the Whole report be adopted. As many in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 have voted yes, 2 have voted no.
48 haven't voted yes, 2 haven't voted no. The Committee of the Whole report has been adopted.
That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll go to order business 9, motions. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move to refer House Bill 117 by Representative Bertiglio, generally revised retiree laws under TRS to the Finance and Claims Committee.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to refer House Bill 171 by Representative Beattie, revised laws related to residential treatment facilities to the Finance and Claims Committee.
Without objection, so ordered. Seeing no further motions, order business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 7 bills, 8 o'clock.
Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Claims tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 4 bills, some executive action.
Senator Small.
Mr. President, Senate Business and Labor tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., 8 bills.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. President. State Administration Room, 335, 3 p.m. today, several bills.
Senator Sales.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Energy and Telecommunications tomorrow, 317.
Senator McGilvery.
Mr. President, Public Health today, 3 o'clock.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Education today, 3 o'clock, 5 bills.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you. Natural Resources, 3 o'clock, 3 bills. Thanks.
Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Tax back to work tomorrow morning, 8:30. Executive action to follow. Thank you.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Local Government meet today at 3 o'clock, 4 bills. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. President. Request to be off and the record and out of the journal for purpose of an introduction.
You may.
Up to my left in the galley is three young ladies. The one on the left is my seatmate here, Senator Temple's wife. That is his wife, Judy. My wife, Lorna, and our friend, Vicky Shin, and my wife's cousin, Vicky Shin, from Missoula, Montana. Thank you.
Welcome to the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour 1 o'clock on March 21st, 2023, the 56th legislative day.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Leader. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate will reconvene tomorrow, 1 o'clock.